The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At the end of this past week, CNN ran a story about a woman who escaped the horrific condo collapse down in Surfside. It kind of told the story that night she went to bed. She had an appointment early the next morning, so she skipped her sleeping medications. She's kind of afraid she'd oversleep and miss her appointment. She'd also prepped her purse. Her purse had her credit cards and all her medications already ready for her to go in the morning. And she went to bed. In the middle of the night, she said she was awakened by what she called a rare force. And upon coming to, she recognized that the door to her outside patio was left open, and the wind had created a breeze that had awakened her in the night. So she got up from her bed to go close the door, and as she's doing so, she noticed there's a crack on her ceiling. And the crack was beginning to physically go down her wall and grow larger as she's watching. And she told herself, "I need to run for my life." So she quickly put on some clothes. She had everything prepared for the next morning. She was able to grab her purse, leave her apartment, and she entered her hallway, which was just quiet. She ran to the opposite end of her hallway to the emergency stairs. She realized probably getting in an elevator might not be the best thing to happen. So she ran to the opposite end of the stairs. She had only lived in this apartment for about 6 months, and she wasn't familiar that there was actually a set of emergency stairs right next to her apartment. But instead, she ran across the hall, way down the hall, down the stairs. And as she was going down those stairs, she heard the sound of her condo collapsing. And she escaped with her life. There's another part of the story I left out that CNN reported. Prior to going to bed, this woman lit a candle. And CNN described it, she lit a candle to Lady Guadalupe, which is actually Our Lady of Guadalupe, our Blessed Mother, out of her devotion to our Blessed Mother. And CNN shared that Our Lady of Guadalupe is a particular devotion for Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, and actually for all of us here in the Americas, as our patroness to protect us. We have an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the back of our church watching over us right now. That image that was on Juan Diego's tilma as I read this article, and I read it online, I further understood they actually did a video segment on TV. But I was reflecting on this story and how people would read this story. And what they would put into this event of lighting the candle. Would they think, this is just a superstition? Is it a coincidence? You look at that evening and there was a whole series of things that could have gone a different way for this lady. But because of our faith, we don't discount the fact that perhaps our Blessed Mother interceded for this woman, and maybe it was just one of those events. But I'm so impressed and thankful that this woman shared this with CNN, and CNN has published this to the world to read as part of this article. She was proclaiming her faith by her actions and then also by her story and what she shared with CNN. Our readings this weekend have a common thread of being called to speak God's Word and God's truth, and often speaking that truth in a very unaccepting world. Our first reading from the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel. We hear the words, this is when God is calling Ezekiel to be His prophet, to speak to the Israelites the Word of God. Bring this to them. They're an obstinate people. Being called to be a prophet, particularly an Old Testament prophet of God, pretty much sealed your fate. You knew the way your life was going to end. But regardless, God asked Ezekiel, and Ezekiel accepted to speak the Word of God. And God told him, you likely won't be accepted, but they will know that a prophet was among them by the fact that you shared your words. Our second reading, St. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, we hear about Paul being inflicted with a thorn in the flesh. Paul himself was called by Jesus in that vision to spread the gospel. Paul experienced all these revelations. But God tells him the revelations aren't going to convince people. And in fact, if you think you're operating from a position of strength, strength isn't what's going to do it for you. Your strength is actually going to come from your weakness. But proclaim my word. And he told Paul, you're going to suffer insults. You're going to suffer hardships and persecutions. But Paul accepted that role of being God's prophet. And then, of course, our gospel from Luke today. Jesus returns to his hometown and begins teaching in the synagogue. And his own people don't accept him. This is just the son of the carpenter. How can he know what he's saying here? It notes that Jesus was unable to do a mighty deed in his own hometown, not because he couldn't, but because of the lack of faith of those in his own from his own kin and his own community. So we hear of these three prophets and of Jesus himself. How does that relate to us? These are prophets that God called. My brothers and sisters, at each of our baptisms, after we receive baptism in the water, we are all anointed with the holy chrism on our heads and proclaimed, we are all priests, prophets, and kings of Christ. Our baptisms call us to be prophets to the world, just as these prophets we hear in our readings today. Baptism gives us a foundational vocation of holiness We are all called to love God and to love our brothers and sisters as Christ did, and to speak the Word of God, sometimes even in an unaccepting world, just as that woman did in Florida to CNN. Today, we celebrate Independence Day. We celebrate the founding of this great experiment in freedom and democracy. And that's what this country is an experiment. Our founding fathers fled the rest of the world, fled religious persecution, fled other persecution, said, we want to build something better here, but it's never been done before. And thus, it is a great experiment. So our founding fathers crafted this nation, crafted our government. They put into place the errors that they have seen elsewhere in the world. They put checks and balances in place that no one branch of government can overrun the others. They keep an eye on each other, and a properly functioning government keeps all that in check. But our founding fathers also recognized that this government that they founded must exist and to be established on a moral foundation. A foundation of truth. What is right and what is not right. Government is not truth. Government is a series, and this definition, but it's got to sit on a strict foundation of morality. Very similar to our foundational vocation of holiness that we as Catholic Christians rest on. So while we celebrate today patriotically, help us to recognize that our Christian vocation of holiness has primacy. It comes first. We must guard the moral foundation of this country in order to protect it. And in doing so, regardless of political flavor, we as Catholic Christians must proclaim the respect and dignity of life, all life, the unborn, the immigrant, the refugee, those imprisoned and facing capital punishment, our poor and our elderly. And we also need to uphold the dignity of marriage and of the family. My brothers and sisters, that's the moral foundation that this country relies upon. We celebrate the 245th anniversary on this Independence Day of our founding. This day was not guaranteed. And it's very fragile. And we must guard this government and this country. And in fact, the 246th anniversary next year is not guaranteed to us as well. My brothers and sisters, we need to celebrate and we need to be good Americans, but by being good Christians first. So on this day, I wish you a happy and safe Independence Day. May God bless America.